Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, and as always, we stamp the show with a date. So today is April 17th.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
It is Friday, in case you didn't realize that, Jen. So I'm reminding you.
Thanks.
Because I know you like to be reminded of things over and over and
right,
over again.
Right, exactly.
You like that.
Totes.
You like to talk about things over and over
yeah,
again.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do, never.
I know, me
never.
Too.
You can say whatever you want right now to me because I have coffee, so I don't even care.
There you go. You managed.
I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, so there are mornings you start without coffee, right?
No, very few.
Really?
I already had a cup today, too.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's your second one.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I still took half a Xanax last night, so I'm a little groggy again.
Yeah, huh? Wow.
It's this problem.
Yeah, it is problem with whatever you have there, bugs, whatever.
Yeah, so it's okay. It's going to be resolved, I think, by like the end of this weekend, hopefully, and I will be back in my bed. Life will be as normal, and I will lay off the Xanax.
Great. Now, are you still getting bitten by these things?
No, I'm not. Okay. And the only thing I can attribute that to is me sleeping on my couch, which is why I continue to do so.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
going to be one of those weirdos that probably live on my couch now instead of my bed.
That's true.
Just out of fear of my bed. Because right. Imagine, you're going to sleep and you're like, yeah, I'm going to go to sleep. It's my happy place. It's safe. I go to slumber for hours. Oh, no. I'm thinking of all the creatures that could come out and bite me.
Yeah.
Because they're like, look at that sleeping victim. Like, we're going to get her.
Yeah.
So I'm like terrified.
Wow. That's terrible, you know. I mean, like we said, and you don't know what you're dealing with. It's not like you know for sure it's bed bugs.
No, right? It's definitely not bed bugs. But it's funny because I would have almost rather it had been bed bugs because then right. there would be a solution.
Right.
Now it's like so up in the air. It's like,
right.
oh,
you don't even know what's shoot. Going on.
Right. There. Are, right. I have roommates. I have no idea who they are or what they are. They live with me.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. But so everybody has a different answer. A girlfriend I was talking to last night was like, oh, well, it's definitely spider bites because I had the same thing. So I was like, all right, well, I'll send you a picture of what my bites look like. She's like, no, ours didn't look like that. But I'm going to give you a spider trap anyway.
Oh, okay.
So everybody's helpful,
yeah.
but no one has an answer.
Right.
So I'm actually going to go to the doctor today and hopefully he'll tell me like, okay, it's either mosquitoes that happened outside or something lives with you.
Yeah, that's true, huh? A doctor would be a good option.
It would be.
To find out.
I probably should have gone like a week ago.
Yeah, before the exterminators.
Just at some point when it started happening. But I'm not a doctor person.
Right.
Like, I'm usually like, well, whatever happens to me can be like healed.
Right.
So unless it's surgery I can't do on myself, I'm like, it'll go away. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
So yeah, no, I'm like, I gotta go to the doctor finally.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
So I have a busy day today of radio show.
Yeah.
Wrapping my mattress in those zippy things that like go around your whole mattress.
Oh, really? Wow.
My cousin's coming over to help me lift the mattress and like put it in.
Right.
And then I'm going to the doctor.
So, okay. So that sort of like traps everything there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is so gross because if you think about it, why do I want to keep them anyway?
Yeah.
But at least they're together.
Yeah,
dead,
they're not on you.
Than
yeah.
on me.
Exactly.
Gross.
I know.
Sorry, listeners. It's so gross.
It is gross. But what can you do, you know?
Yeah.
I get a piece of sad news yesterday. A guy
what?
I know who actually, his name is Michael Higbee, and he's co-hosted some shows here. He's never been a host, but so I've known him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And this man was really overweight, you know, I mean, totally obese, you know, and very unusually so. You don't see that many people. I mean, his legs were like tree trunks, you
Aye.
Know. So, at any rate, I found out yesterday that he passed away, like the previous day.
Sad.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, wow, you know, I mean, I know the guy. And you keep seeing his posts on Facebook all the time. And apparently what happened was, I mean, even his last post was, I'm going to the dentist. So, apparently he went to the dentist and I guess maybe when the dentist saw he didn't show up, he left. And he found him dead in his car. So apparently somebody said it was a heart attack or something, so I'm not sure. But
that's awful.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, I mean, he must have had health problems. And also, but I'm also inclined to think that, you know, apparently his mother died like a month or two ago. So maybe he died of broken heart, you know, I don't know. Some people, it happens
to does happen.
Right.
You just, well, I think you die of a broken heart because you no longer have the will to fight whatever it is you need to fight to live.
Yeah, probably.
You give up.
Yeah, and I'm sure he was, I'm not sure that he has any family of his own, so
sad.
He was probably close with his mom.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I know, it is sad, but he's had many friends, he had many friends, and he's a nice guy. I mean, generally everybody feels he's a really nice, cool guy. So that's shocking, you know?
Yeah.
And every time somebody you know, you hear of them dead, it's like, wow, you know, it's so sudden and immediate. It's like you don't
expect
it.
And it's final.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the hardest part.
Death is very final.
I have a hard time with that.
Yeah. People don't come back.
Right.
They're gone forever.
Like illness, fine. Okay, you get through it or you do whatever. Like you live another day.
Right.
Death, it's like, okay, there are no other options. There are zero options.
Right. Yeah. One-way ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I know.
Sad.
Do you think about these things sometimes?
No.
No, huh? You try not to.
Well, that's a lie. I had a dream last night, I think, that I was being chased and shot at. And, like, it was, like, the weirdest thing. Like, I was in some building that was infiltrated. And I have dreams like that often, I think, like, where I'm either being chased or, like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's a fear of mine. I have fears,
right.
But it's never about actual death. It's about probably how I would die.
Right, exactly. I think about that, too.
Like, I wouldn't want to be tortured.
Right.
I'm okay with, like, a disease. Like, fine, yeah, it'll be slow, but I can say goodbye to people and, like, get treatment and maybe survive. But, like, being tortured or, like, killed or murdered, like, an accident, probably not just because you go quickly, but I don't want to be killed.
Right. Yeah.
So if anyone's listening, don't kill me.
Yeah, well, don't go to the Middle East or don't go anywhere dangerous then,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll just
save
stay home.
Yourself.
I'll stay home with my bugs because they're safer than that.
There you go. They don't have guns.
No, they just have yucky little teeth that eat me.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I mean, actually what scares me is really dying slowly from disease.
Oh, really? See, yeah. And I'm the opposite. I don't care about that.
Yeah. You see, I'd rather go quickly. It's like I don't want to feel it. Let me just go. Like an example, like Michael Higby died, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, heart attack, it's like it happens, you're gone, you know. You don't have to suffer. That's the thing, is that you realize there are worse things than death, you know, and that is hell on earth.
Right.
And like you said, tortured or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's terrible. So.
Well, for me, if I was given, you know, however many months to live, let's say, or whatever that is, I would make the most of that. And I would, like, turn a new leaf and, like, probably just sit at a buffet every day, like, give all my money and things to friends and family, like, spend as much time doing that as possible. I feel like I would just, I don't know, take advantage of that last time.
Yeah.
But when you're killed, you don't have a choice. You're just like, somebody else is killing you.
Right.
And it's scary.
But you said that if you knew when you were going to die. But the thing is, obviously, most people don't. You
right.
know? They just die slowly, and they don't really know when they're going to go. You know. But still, it's a great idea to celebrate life every, you know, every
100%.
Waking moment.
And you shouldn't wait until you get a death sentence. But
yeah. I know. Another thing that bothers me is when someone dies, you know, it's like everybody goes to the funeral, even people that you haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can these things happen when you're alive, you know, when you can actually enjoy it, being accompanied by all these people, visited, whatever. And it's an unfortunate thing, you know, that you only hear about the time when people have great things to say about you is after you die and you
right.
can't even hear it.
Oh, my God. I actually think about, like, what my funeral will be like. Mm. Like, most people are like, wear black. It's so somber. Like, yeah, you have to wear black to my funeral, but I want it to be a party.
Really?
I want it to be like, a roast.
Yeah.
But like a nice roast. Right. And I want everybody to be drunk and happy and like celebrate my life.
But
and
you say, know they're not going to do that.
Well, they better because I'll be watching them and I'll haunt them if they don't.
Yeah. How can you celebrate when you have such a sense of loss? You see, I mean, for you, it's okay. You're dead. But right. the people that lose you.
Well, because I want them. Okay. So there's a loss that they lost me. But like they have the memories. Like we always had fun together. Like right. I want them to celebrate what we had.
Well, that they can do after the funeral. I think maybe people need time to grieve and mourn, no?
I guess.
Yeah.
I'm so not that way, so if they did that, it'd be weird for me.
I know.
I'm more of a like, okay, now what? Like, that's real sad. I'm going to miss that person. I love them.
Right.
Now what?
No, you got to remember, the funeral is for the surviving people, not for the dead, you know?
I think it's a little for everybody.
I don't know. I mean, the dead person doesn't even realize what's going on, obviously. Well, they're gone already.
I'm such a control freak. I'll plan my funeral and tell people what to do at my funeral before I die.
Yeah, I'm sure. Give them like a list.
Obviously. I'll probably make a notebook about it today. I'll make a Pinterest board and be like, that's what my funeral is going to be. Do it or I'll haunt you.
Yeah, I know. Makes you think you should do like wills and everything. You know, I should do.
You haven't done a will?
Can you imagine I haven't done a will?
What?
And that's the worst thing. I'm going to do it. I got to do it. I'll do it this weekend. You got to do it, you know, because otherwise the state takes over your assets and shit.
I mean, you have kids. I feel like the day you have a child, you have to make one.
Right. No, that's true. Except I don't have a lot.
That doesn't matter. You have something, and whatever that is something for your kids.
Right. That's true.
I mean, I'll make a will today. Somebody can have this water bottle.
Yeah.
Lauren can have it.
Yeah.
My mom can have this cup of coffee.
Yeah. Lauren was fun yesterday. I always have fun when she comes in because you guys are great together.
Thanks.
You're like sisters. I mean, you really compliment each other. Thanks. You know? And it's so it's funny because when I see you guys like interact and stuff, it comes across as you guys are very close, you know?
We are.
I mean, it's like you know each other so well, you know?
Yeah. It's funny when you – like I have a couple people in my life like that where – you almost feel like you've always known each other.
And yeah, that's nice.
You have some kind of bond that is like, you can't make it. You can't just be like, today I want to be friends with you and this is how the friendship's going to look and we're going to be close. It just sort of happens.
Right.
Where you finish each other's sentences, where you know what the other person's thinking, where you're like, you agree on almost everything. And, right. you know, I have like a handful of those friends where I just feel like they're part of my life. And I can't, like, it's not even like a friend. It's like my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. Do you guys ever have any friction between you?
Barely. It's like,
yeah.
Why did you say that? I don't know. Because I felt like it. Like you saw, like I said.
That's it, pretty much.
Right. Like, it'll be like, really, I want to wear that. Well, I'm wearing the black jeans tonight. Okay, fine. And I'll wear not black jeans.
Those are not a big deal.
No.
But you don't have major fights or anything.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
You see, you're very lucky that way. And it's also, I can see why it's important to you because you're an only child, you know. So this is like the sister you never had or something,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's very cool. Like I told you, you're very lucky, I think.
Thank you.
Both of you to have each other.
Thanks. I mean, and then from, you know, here we went and we interviewed people to be our, like, we're hiring an intern, I told you. So we had a couple of interviews. Then we went and worked from Lauren's house and got like a ton done. And then we went to our friend's store and we like helped her out for a couple hours for like 2 hours. Then we went to the gym and worked out together and then we went on our way. It was like an 8 hour day.
Yeah.
It's funny because we were driving and she was having like a panic attack. Not really. That's an exaggeration. She was like frustrated because of the like other people on the road. And she looks at me and she's like, why aren't you helping me? I'm like, because I am not the driver. And she's like,
what do you want me
she's
to
like,
do?
Oh, it's so weird because I feel like we literally do everything together. So you have to help me drive too. I'm like, well, I don't have a steering wheel. She's like, I know it doesn't even make sense. But I looked at you and I was like, why isn't she helping me? And that like, that was the extent of being mad.
Yeah.
Like she was like,
That's funny.
Yeah. I'm like, we can't do everything together.
Yeah.
One person drives the car.
That's true. Yeah. And like I told you, sometimes you guys have to separate in order to be approached by men and stuff.
Yeah.
I think you guys should do that.
I think that was a great suggestion. We'll probably try that out tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. and I'm wondering how it's going to turn out. But I'm telling you, there's no way that one of you is going to be there for more than 3 minutes alone without being approached.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully you'll attract good people. And
hopefully.
That's your battle right there, yes, to fend off the ones that don't qualify.
That is a battle, I will tell you.
Yeah. So the Periscope thing you did yesterday didn't work, right? You said it was too long?
So it worked for the people that were watching live, which was like 700 people.
Really?
Yeah. From all over the world. So it's really a good tool to promote anything.
Wow.
Yeah. So the thing is that I guess when we finished, it didn't upload for replay. Okay. So if it doesn't do that, people can't replay it.
Right.
But the people that saw it, saw it.
Okay, but we didn't get to see it.
No.
But we don't need to see it.
We know what happened.
We know what we look like.
Right. We were here.
I know. Well, next time she comes in, we'll bring drinks again. It's just that I didn't want to be buzzed after the show, and you said you guys had things to do.
We did.
Yeah,
that would have been bad if we had the rest of that day.
I know. Drunk. So I thought it wasn't a good day to bring in alcohol, but yeah, that would be cool.
Hey, if we have her in on a Friday,
yeah,
then that's a good time to do it.
That's true. Okay, well, we'll invite her over and over and over again.
I mean, I guess if you really want to.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Hi, Lauren.
And finally, you acknowledge that she's a special guest.
Yeah.
That was good.
She's special.
Yeah, very much so.
But like short bus special. Just kidding.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you guys are... You know, I mean, just my personal opinion. You guys are really cool. You shouldn't have trouble finding a man.
Thanks.
But I guess you're also pretty picky, and that's probably what's going on, right?
Well, no. It's like what I said that day when we had that relationship expert here, the right. one from Paris.
Right.
So Lauren and I talk about this, like, at length. And this is why our show that we're going to eventually do here when we get a sponsor, call us, is that it's about dating. And we feel... that the power lies in the man's hands, only because usually women want a relationship. There's very rarely a time where a woman's like, no, not for me.
That's true.
I don't want a relationship. I just want to have fun. We might right. say it. What we mean is we're trying to be cool.
Right.
And we think that you'll like that, which is so not okay. You need to say what you want.
Exactly. Or otherwise, you
know, say what you want.
Yeah, it'll catch up with you later.
Exactly. I made that mistake years ago in a relationship. Failed miserably.
Right.
So... we both are at that point in our lives where we want a relationship. But the thing is, if we start dating a guy and he, you know, is nice and great and whatever, he may not want a relationship.
Right.
So, yeah, we're having a great time together. But, like, if he doesn't want it to get to that next level, it's not going to happen.
That's true.
Because two people have to make... It takes two to tango.
Right.
If one person wants something and the other person doesn't, that means it doesn't happen.
Right.
That's a simple equation of life. So... that's why it lies usually in their hands, because women always want a relationship.
Right. Okay, so it makes sense, because so the key to relationships is with a guy and the key to sex is with a woman.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, because you guys decide whether it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Or not.
I think that is a fair assessment. Right. One person holds power for one thing and one person holds it for the other.
Right. And that's why they say men use love to get sex and women use sex to get love.
It's 100% true.
Right?
Yes.
They give the other what they want in order to get what they
want. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think really the truth of the matter is timing. Because whatever a person is ready for at that time is what's going to happen.
That's
true. So that's why I don't find a point in wasting time with people that aren't ready for a relationship.
Right.
Because I don't need to like wait it out. I'm not young anymore where, like, I have all the time in the world to wait till you're ready to be in a commitment, like, a committed relationship. Right. Girlfriends and I talk all the time about this. Like, I've had friends that have struggled to get their boyfriends to commit. And it has been a long, nasty road of years.
Really?
And now, finally, a couple of them, like, now live with their boyfriend that gave them all this grief. And they're finally getting to a real point of relationship.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know when they're going to get engaged because it already took so long to even move in right. together. So... they're on the slow path of resistance, basically, because that's who they picked. But so, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want somebody easy, happy-go-lucky, wants what I want. We meet, we hit it off, everything's great, and it just happens.
Right.
Like, it's not that, like, butting heads on, like, fundamental issues. And, like, I don't want somebody that's, like, trying to exercise their freedom all the time.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to see me, see me.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I can understand where you don't want to... I mean, but in the meantime, don't you want to have some fun or whatever? Go out? I mean, you do, right? You
go out with people. I go out with my friends. And to me, I have such a, like, a stuttering. I have a fulfilled life based on, like, family, friends, work, working out. Like, there's no shortage of things to do.
Right.
So I never sit at home and I'm like... I'm without love, or I'm without social interaction. I have tons of it.
Right.
Can't stop.
So you don't crave it if it's not a relationship.
No.
It's not like you have to have someone to hug and kiss. And
no. Like so, like, I know a lot of women get into the, like, issue where they want... This is kind of what I said to Lauren yesterday. I'm like, well, you just want attention from a guy.
Right.
But I don't know, like, how she really feels about all that, because she doesn't talk to me about that particular person so much. It's my understanding that she will take it because it's there and he's the one making somewhat of an effort.
Yeah.
So, but I think when you step back, do you say, well, is this a person I want to spend the rest of my life with? Could I see this person as a husband? Do I even care about this dude?
Right.
If I don't, I personally would rather spend my time doing other things. I don't need just contact with somebody.
Right. And that's good, because you're not in the state of mind where you feel, okay, well, if he's not perfect, I'm going to change him or something.
Oh, God,
you
know? No.
That's the worst thing that women do, is think they can change.
Oh, I know. I've seen it countless times. I see it around me all the time with different friends still trying to do that. I'm like, I cannot understand that concept. You are making your life so much more difficult.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, if you don't find somebody that you want, that meets your expectations, don't be with them, you know.
Right.
But to like one or two things about a person and then have to change the rest... it's a losing battle.
I think. A lot of people settle, or it's like a sign of validation for them, because they're like, well, I was the one who changed them. It only takes one girl, so I was that girl.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't you just not have to be that girl and try so hard with that difficult person and find somebody that's awesome and that thinks you're that girl without you even trying?
Right, exactly. And they're not necessarily a bad person. It's just he's not for you.
Right. People have baggage. Does your baggage line up? Can your baggage play in the sandbox together?
Yeah.
Like, does your crazy, you know, complement each other? If it does, great, more power to you. But if you are a healthy, functioning individual, don't put yourself with somebody that isn't, because it's never going to be a happy environment.
Right, exactly. They're never going to change.
Right.
If a person doesn't want to change, they won't.
Right.
You know, and
even you shouldn't want them to.
Exactly. And even when you want to change, sometimes it's very hard, you know. But I think the point is to find someone who completes you, rather than someone that you're trying to fit in, fit like a, you know, like a square peg in a round hole or something.
I mean, if somebody tried to change me, I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
No. If you don't think I'm great as is, please don't be with me.
Exactly. Exactly. If you don't have what you want, leave and find something that does, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, you know, and that's why I've resented people that try to change me. You know, like, I'm supposed to read their minds, and this, I can say this and I cannot say that. And it's like, come on, you know, I mean, that's me, you know. And
here's the thing. If it makes you a better person, if somebody literally comes into your life and makes you a better person, then that is the best thing that has ever happened. But if they don't make you a better person and they tear you down, then why be with them?
Yeah.
Like, if they teach you things, if they open your eyes to another perspective, if they calm you and you're like high strung or whatever it is, if they balance you out and make you better, then fine. That change is a good change, and you should welcome that with open arms. But if it is like, if somebody told me, for instance, that I'm too loud, I would be like, okay, well, I came out of the womb screaming. So there's no chance I'm going to be a quiet person.
Yeah.
If you're asking me not to give my opinion on something, you need to be with somebody else.
Yeah. You see, and that's also is that what I find is sometimes people, the thing that attracts you the most about a person becomes an irritating thing for you later, you know? Because, and for example, if someone is an introvert and they meet you and they want to be with you because you're outgoing and you can introduce them to people and things like that, eventually they're going to resent that.
Right.
And say, you know, why are you like that? You know, just because... at that point, they want more control of you, I think, you know.
Well, also, an insecure person is going to be an insecure person.
Yeah.
The thing is, you cannot rely on somebody else to make you feel secure. So a lot of people do that. They think, well, if I get in a relationship with somebody, they obviously love me.
Right.
So now I'm loved. However, if they do anything at all to make you question that love, they freak out and shrivel up into a wounded little lamb.
Yeah, that's true.
Insecurity is your own problem. I don't care what you say. If somebody makes you feel insecure, it's you who feels insecure.
Right. Yeah, no, that's, you know, I mean, that's interesting. And I also, I think it was Oprah that I heard say this. She said, you know, it's all about how the person makes you feel about yourself when you're with them. You know, and think about it. You know, I mean, if you're with someone and they make you feel like shit about yourself, then you don't want to be with them. And absolutely. I've been in relationships like that, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to take this.
Oh, no. My ex-boyfriend used to say things to me and I would listen to him and be like, I don't even think we're talking about the same person.
Wow.
Like, he said that I was spoiled, that I was high maintenance. I'm like, I couldn't be easier going.
Right.
I literally roll over and I'm like, whatever you want. Do you want to do this today? Great. We'll do that. You want anything you want.
Wow.
And he would, and nobody else has called me high maintenance.
Yeah.
At all. I don't even care. I don't eat red meat. Fine. Okay. That's high maintenance. That's just a preference.
Right.
It's like, he said I was hard to please. I'm happy you saw it just from that cup of coffee.
Right.
I was so happy. I'm like, my day is made. I got another cup of coffee for free.
That's true. Does that translate into relationships too?
Yes.
Yeah?
I think almost so to a fault, where in the past I was, and I think women do this all the time. They're like, thank God he texted me back. And that is a big feat. Like, they think that is like, wow, he's so nice. He sent me a text. Or, wow, he asked me to come over. I'm sorry, he asked you to come over. He did not ask you to go to dinner. He's not planning anything for you. He put forth no effort. Calm down. That is not a good thing. Like, and then they make these bigger deals out of very small things because we're just so happy that somebody even acknowledged us.
Wow, it's like that, huh?
Yeah, it's that bad. We're like, you now will settle for like a kissy face emoji. And you're like, oh, he loves me. Loves me. Kissy face.
Yeah.
Means so much. That guy's sending kissy faces to everybody in his phone. Calm down.
Yeah, it's easy to
press. Listen, because I do that.
Yeah.
I send it to anybody that texts me.
Right.
Girls, guys, mom, family, doesn't matter. Kissy face.
Yeah.
That's it. But like, that's the thing, is like, we're making the biggest deals out of anything. But also, my ex-boyfriend would call me spoiled. I'm like, well, considering I ask for nothing and I pay for myself and I, you know, do everything on my own. I'm very independent. I don't ask for a penny.
Yeah.
And I don't throw a fit if I don't get something.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know if we're talking about the same person anymore.
Right. You see,
you see something that I am not.
Exactly. But maybe you're coming across as that way to people because there's a lot of things we don't see about ourselves.
He is the only person that has ever said, well, other than like my parents.
Was he like a strong personality like you?
He is a strong personality that is very unaware of himself. Mm. So he has no aware. I hope he's not listening. I don't think he would be, but he should be at work, hopefully, like doing something with himself. But he is so unaware of who he is that I don't think he had any idea what he was even doing when he was doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it was so much easier for him to point at me and say I'm all these things,
right,
than for him to look inward and be like, you know what? I've actually treated you poorly, which right, may be why you're reacting the way you're reacting by saying, like, you'd rather go here than there.
Right.
Like, I'm sharing my opinion for a change. And that was a bad thing. I'm like, Usually you can do whatever you want. But today I'm like, I kind of feel like going to a museum. Well, no, I'm going to go do this. You can do that. Well, I would really love for us to do this together. Well, no, you're just spoiled and you want what you want when you want it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's been a year and I haven't asked for a single thing. Thanks.
Wow. Yeah.
But he was also, his priorities then were to go out with his friends, to drink all day and all night, to do whatever he wanted all the time.
Right. Yeah, so they want to have a woman there on the side, but they also want to be able to go and do things
exactly
that are like for single people.
Right, but whenever I had any sort of need, I was this demon. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I want normal things, but maybe I'm crazy. And I would ask other people, I'm like, am I being unrealistic? And they're like, not at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, why settle for someone like that?
Exactly.
You know, when someone else would bring you flowers all the time.
And I was so deep in that I like thought, okay, I'll wait it out. This was the time when I was in that position where I was like, I'll wait it out until he's ready to be a normal guy in a normal relationship because we already have some sort of love there.
Right.
Did not happen that way.
No, huh?
No, nope, just got worse.
Wow. How long were you guys together?
2.5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So that must have been good for a while at least.
No.
No?
No, there were good times. Right. I would say a third of the time it was good, but that was because we were out drinking, having fun,
right,
doing what he wanted to do.
Right.
So any other time, we were either doing what he wanted to do or fighting.
Wow.
Yeah. Real bad. Real
I can't
bad.
Believe you stayed for 2.5 years, though. I mean, it sounds like you wouldn't settle for something like
that. And it's so funny because anybody I've met after that relationship is like, I cannot imagine you ever in a situation like that. Yeah. And I'm like, I wasn't me.
Yeah.
At that, I was such a pushover and like.
Yeah, and you were younger too.
Yeah, I mean, not much, but I wish I could say this was like 7 years ago because I'm not proud of this situation or how I handled it. I'm just glad it's behind me.
Yeah.
I can say I've moved like very past it. I learned a lot from it, which I wish for other people. There's still time to get out. Yeah. A lot of people also think like, well, I'm in a relationship and I've already made it. If we've been together this long and I don't want to start dating again, and being single in LA is awful, so I'd rather stay with the devil I know than the devil I don't.
Right, exactly.
That's not the answer. Honestly, being single is way better than being with somebody that's awful.
I agree. I totally agree. And you know what? Even they don't have to be awful, but the relationship is awful.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, I mean, there's no guilty party here. It's just that you guys are not compatible.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't be together.
No.
Yeah. And that's what happens, you know. That's why sometimes, I mean, often when there's divorce or breakup or something, I don't judge the people, you know. And, you know, often when if somebody walks out or something on a relationship, on a marriage, cheats, whatever, it's something that's been growing for a long time. These things don't just happen.
No.
You know, so there are symptoms for a bad relationship.
Yes, and just, I wish people were quicker to see them.
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing. When you're in it, you don't want to believe there's a problem. And usually men say, oh, I think everything's fine. I don't see what you're complaining about, you know. And the women are the ones that are saying, you know, this relationship is lacking in this and in that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why it's important for society to empower women, I think, because they're keeping everybody together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have just men, and they fight each other, and they kill each other.
Right.
That's all they do.
Yeah, we bring a little bit of the compassion, love, communication, empathy.
So I'm wondering if a woman president would bring that to the job, too. You see? I don't know, unless she's Hillary. Hillary doesn't have much emotions, it doesn't seem like.
Which okay, so I have been called militant in my time.
Really?
Yes. Because the way that I do business is very different than the way that I, like, am a friend. Business is business. There are no feelings in business. I'm sorry. When I sent an email and it had a period at the end of the sentence, that was not me reprimanding you. It was me ending my sentence. Like, calm down, people. There are no emotions. Like, how people interpret things to me is so bizarre. I've worked in environments before. Somebody called me Casey Anthony.
Really?
Yeah, because I was in the position of HR, operations, IT, legal, whatever it was. My job was head of operations. So I operated the business.
Right.
Everybody else did the publicity and PR work. I did the operations of the business. So my job was to do all of those things. I was paid to do that. It wasn't like I said one day, I don't like you because you, I don't know, turned in your assignment late, so I don't like you. No, you had a deadline. Did you not turn it in by the deadline? Okay, well, then that has repercussions.
Yeah. So don't bring feelings into it.
Right. Yeah. Did you do it or did you not do it? Did you send it on time? Did you not? It's so simple. I cannot even begin.
Yeah.
Like, well, business for dummies. Like, okay, it's business. Yeah.
No, many people don't realize that, and especially early in their careers, you know, they take things personally.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, business is business. People do whatever's good for the business. And, you know, and that's why I say also, you know, when people go to audition and stuff, don't look at it as a rejection when they don't take you. It's just that you don't fit what they're looking for.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't matter what you do and how great an actor you are, whatever, if you don't have the look, if you don't have the voice, the whatever, you know, the aura about you. God.
Some people take it so personally.
Yeah, you know, and it's the same thing with any job application, you know. I mean, people have in mind what they want, and if you're not that, you're not that. It's not because they don't like you or that, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not everybody can separate those things, though.
No. That's unfortunate, you know. But I think And especially being in entertainment, you have to have thick skin. And if you don't, and if you start taking everything personally, you won't last very long.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So, yeah, so that's relationships for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that 420 is coming up.
I'm sure you're excited. You know, you on know 420, also the article about us comes out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Oh, you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Monday our article is going to be out. Cool. Yeah, I'll have the magazine that day in the mail. And we'll take a look at
Can't
it.
Wait.
That should be cool. I know. I'm wondering how he's going to interpret what he's experienced here. You know, it will be very cool.
Yep.
But 420 is, we refer to April 20th as the day of marijuana celebration. And you know what they say the origin of this is? People used to think it's the number of the bill that was passed and all these things. In actuality, and I read this in a few places, so it must be true, it's based on some kids going to get high after school, and they would meet at 4:20 in the afternoon somewhere.
That's how it started?
That's how it started. I mean, I don't even know who those kids were and why they started this and why people are accepting this as... But I guess people like it, you know. So now, so what's special on that day? When you go to dispensaries, they'll give you all kinds of gifts and things like that. But there used to be a couple dispensaries where I was able to smoke in there, you know. Usually you can't.
Yeah.
So, and I would sit there with a few guys and we would sit and smoke and talk. And it was so much fun, you know. So on 420, we would like celebrate and all that stuff. So... whatever, you know, any reason to party.
Do you want to know what I think of when I think of 420?
What do you think of it?
Columbine.
Really?
Yes, because I was going into high school right when, like, I think maybe the year Columbine happened or like some, it was about that, oh yeah, I was in eighth grade, I think, when it happened. And then I was going to high school. So my parents got me a cell phone to go to high school with because of what had happened in Columbine.
Yeah.
So that's why I got a cell phone going into ninth grade.
Oh, wow.
For safety.
And this was on April 20th that it happened?
Yeah.
Really?
And then I started high school in, what, like August? So.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. I will always remember. And I didn't go to school on April 20th for like a couple years. My mom would not have me go.
Wow.
Just in case people would like do a reenactment of Columbine.
Right.
So I just didn't go to school on 420. So everyone's like, oh, it's smoking day. I'm like, well, it's my day off. I gotta go. Like, well, I'll be home. Smoking Call day. Me. Tell me how it went.
Yeah.
My mom says I don't have to go to school.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
You'll go with that, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know, but I mean, the debate about medical marijuana is really hitting you know, it's I mean, everybody's talking about it now, and doctors are speaking in favor of it and everything. So, you know, and you see examples of it. You know, you see kids with seizures, and I mean, the first of the series on CNN, they showed it. It's called Weed, and they showed this girl, and she, the parents were living in New Jersey, I think, or something, and she had like, you know, several seizures every day.
Hey.
And imagine that, you know, I mean, they show it to you and it's just so, you know, chilling to see that. And then they discovered medical marijuana. So they went to Colorado. They hadn't moved yet. They just went to there and try some things and they realized that it was helping their daughter. And now apparently in the sequel to the show, I saw the trailer. They're saying that she has maybe a couple seizures a month.
Oh.
Yeah. So imagine how much that's helping her.
Yeah.
And she's getting strain that doesn't really get you high. You know, it's just more medicinal value to it. And, you know, they give it to her with drops and stuff. So it's not like, you don't have to picture this as like hippies smoking joints. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about reaching out for something when everything else fails. And, you know, so I think it should be available to people. And that's it. And as far as recreational, I don't see why not, you know. Alcohol is a lot worse, a lot more dangerous.
I agree.
Yeah. But that's that. But don't overdo it like I do. let's see. What's going on? This is funny. I guess Apple has a convention going on, and they banned selfie sticks.
Why?
They're not saying, but people are presuming because it's probably not safe, you know? They could probably hit people and stuff, you know?
If everyone's walking around with a giant stick in front of them, probably.
I know, and they're so geeky, you know? I mean, how can people even use them?
I have one.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's probably great for Periscope now that I think about it.
That's true, huh?
Ooh. Interesting.
It's so nerdy to carry it, though.
I just stepped my Periscope game up.
Yeah, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a really great thing because, like, when we do selfies here, for instance, and we're right. trying to get the logo in the background, we want to get all the people in, and we don't want it to look like a dumb picture.
Right.
It makes it so you can hold the camera out at a decent distance.
Right.
And you can get the photo you want.
I understand that.
Right. It's just a tool that helps, I think.
No, I know. I know. But it looks weird using it. I don't know. Just let somebody else take your pictures, you know.
What if there's nobody else there?
Like, then you take a regular selfie.
Well, so I had, you know, my family all got together for Christmas and we had brunch and the whole thing. And the only people in the house were family.
Right.
So everyone wanted to be in the photos.
Okay.
So I brought my selfie stick so we could all be in photos together and nobody had to be left out.
Right. Okay. Well, at home, I guess it's okay. When I saw people using it at the restaurant, I'm like, come on, you know, let the waitress take
fine. That makes more sense. I think, though, the selfie stick helps when you want everyone in the photo and no one else is there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get the use for it. I mean, that's why they're selling a lot of them, I'm sure. But, yeah, that's what they're saying. So that's kind of funny. They're not allowing those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're probably going to make one.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. This story reminds me of the movie I'm watching. Apparently, the ship from Libya to Italy, there were some Muslims on it, and they threw overboard 12 Christians.
What?
Yeah. And these are, we're not talking about Muslim militants here.
Just regular ones?
I think so, yeah. Italian authorities arrested 15 people. But yeah, so this reminds me, just last night I was watching Amistad, you know, I was continuing to watch Amistad, and this was definitely the most powerful part of the movie when he was recounting, did you ever see it?
Yeah.
When the slave was recounting the trip from Africa to here,
mm-hmm.
and the humiliation, you know, I mean, they'd subject them all to nudity, both the men and the women on the ship. They would beat them, you know, throw cold water at them, anything. I mean, it was just like I could not believe what I was seeing.
Yeah.
And I think people need to see that. I really do, you know. And people that avoid that avoid part of our history, really, you know. And the thing is that this has nothing to do with, I think, black people today. We have different problems and stuff. But when you watch the history, it's pretty, you know, it's like stays with you.
Right.
I mean, they had too many people on the ship, so they had to get rid of some. They just drowned them. They threw them over. Yeah.
I have a question, though, about, like, the Muslims throwing the Christians over in that boat. Because how do they know they're Christian?
They must have known. You know, maybe they don't dress like them. Maybe they practice their religion openly or something.
That
I don't
is just
know.
So bizarre that I people know. Can do that to me. I just don't understand. What is throwing 12 Christians over the boat going to do for the entire population?
It's not. It's not. But it's just shows you. Yeah. It just shows you this total hatred there. There's no reason. Just hatred. Yeah. Man, I can't stand this. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, all over the world, this is happening. We're at war. Okay, so that's that. I guess Gisele Bündchen announced she's not going to do runway modeling anymore. Do we really care? I don't
not
think
me.
So. Yeah. She's, I guess she's been doing this for, she said for 20 years?
Yeah.
She was 14 and she's 34 now.
I mean, I just don't understand why you have to announce you're retiring.
Right.
Why don't you just not
And she's
do
only
it
retiring from something. But yeah, I mean, because it puts her in the headlines. That's why.
Yeah, I do think she has an underwear line coming out, or maybe
really?
That's why she's like making herself in the headlines. But Yeah, okay, great. So she's not going to do runway modeling anymore, which doesn't mean she's not going to model anymore.
Yeah.
She's not going away.
Right.
So who cares?
That's true, yeah.
Great, bye. Leave the runway.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, age doesn't make much of a difference if you take care of yourself, you know. Remember when we had Katarina Van Durham here from the magazine? She wrote on Facebook that she just turned 40. And she did tell us she was 39 when she was here. And she's not ashamed of her age. And she's totally, totally beautiful. And the thing is that, so, I mean, age doesn't really matter if you know how to carry yourself and stuff.
Right.
But the problem I have with those beautiful women is that they often will say it's not about outer beauty, it's about inner beauty, and yet they're making their money based on outer beauty and all their fame and everything. So I think it sounds kind of like insincere when they say that, you know, and many people do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like here's a guide on beauty. You don't have to be model beautiful to feel pretty and all that stuff. But yet they're the most gorgeous women you can find. So go figure, you know.
Go figure.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, Gisella's cool. I've seen much prettier women than her. What is she? Do you know what nationality she is?
Brazilian.
Oh, she is Brazilian.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, yeah. Yeah, so Tom Brady got her, huh?
Yep.
Well, that's usually how it goes. All the celebrity males get the models. That's who they go after.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it just goes to show you what people go for when they can, you know. So I think the men look for the prettiest so they can have healthy offspring or whatever, because we equate beauty with health and things like that, you know. And... yeah, and women need the security of a well-off man that can take care of the clan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why we're so different. We look for different things, and it manifests itself in our relationships, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah. Also, I guess they're saying it's the little things that make us happy, like animals and sunsets and coffee, even.
See? Yeah. There you go.
You see, the coffee made you a little happier this morning, right?
Well, I just get really excited. I love coffee, but also when somebody gives me something, I'm like, thanks.
Yeah, I know.
It's really, really easy to please me.
Yeah. Well, apparently so. That's pretty good. That's a good thing to know for you suitors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So they're saying that the things that make us feel good are furry friends, little ones, you know, vacations, obviously.
Yep, that makes sense.
Sunsets, sunrises, and other acts of nature. Breakfast also makes people happy.
I love breakfast. I go to sleep thinking about, I get to wake up soon and eat breakfast.
Wow. See, I love breakfast. I just don't make any. So when I go out to breakfast, like on the weekend, I cherish that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love eggs and sausage and all that stuff.
Love.
But you don't eat the meat, right?
No, I eat turkey sausage or turkey bacon or whatever.
So you're not a vegetarian. You just don't eat red meat.
Right. I don't eat four-legged creatures.
I see. Okay.
That's an easy way to put it. And then people, when they hear that, they're like, what about this animal and what about that animal? I'm like, okay, how about this? I eat poultry and fish.
Yeah.
That sums it up.
There you go. And it doesn't affect your health or anything.
No, because I also used to have high cholesterol when I was little. So eating a lot of red meat is not good for me.
Yeah.
However, on the flip side, I have low iron. So, you know, go figure. Yeah.
I know. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. Next week promises to be an exciting one.
We have a lot of studio guests. I guess I'll wear makeup.
I know. This week was so sparse with guests.
Yeah.
But it does happen.
And then next week, they're all in studio.
Yes. Well, most of them, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even remember. Anyway, everybody, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.